Cincinnati Edition for a Sunday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. His father was one of our nation's founders and its second president. He followed in those footsteps in a life of public service as a diplomat, sixth president of the United States, and a lawmaker, and had many other remarkable accomplishments along the way. He was John Quincy Adams. Mark Haney's on the phone this morning with Harlow Giles Unger, whose latest book is a biography of Adams.
Harlow, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for asking me on your show.
It must have been tough being part of such a famous family.
Well, it was and it wasn't. He was the firstborn son of John Adams, our first vice president and second president, and of Abigail Adams, John Adams' marvelous, intelligent, brilliant wife. You know, many people, we all talk about the founding fathers and neglect the founding mothers. Well, Abigail Adams was one of the great founding mothers. And early on, when she heard the cannon fire from the distance, she took her 7-year-old son, John Quincy Adams, by the hand. They went up to the hill behind their farmhouse, and they could see across Boston Bay and see the battle. They witnessed the Battle of Bunker Hill. And she took her boy by the hand. They went back down to their farmhouse. They built a big fire and started melting down the family pewter to make musket balls for the Patriot troops. So early on, he knew what the fight for liberty and justice was all about. And at that time, Abigail told her son that you must rise to the head of your country. If you do not reach that position, it will be because of your own laziness, slovenliness, and obstinacy. You must make a firm resolution now in favor of a life of virtue, integrity, and love of your country. And that's the way John and Abigail Adams raised John Quincy Adams, to be virtuous, to be honest, and to love and serve his country. And he did that his entire life.
Well, who had more of an influence on him, his mother or his father, or was it equal?
It was pretty equal. They both were brilliant people. They both adored and served this country valiantly. His father, John Adams, of course, was one of the signers and co-authors of the Declaration of Independence. He wrote the constitutions for 9 of the first 13 states. So John Adams was a brilliant patriot and served this country for most of his life. So they both had a great influence. When John Quincy Adams was only 10 years old, John Adams took his son with him to France. John Adams was sent by the Continental Congress to try to raise funds for the revolution, to pay for the revolution. And he took John Quincy with him at 10 years old. It was a terribly dangerous voyage. British gunboats fired at them. They went through terrible storms. It was just an incredible adventure for a 10-year-old. But they did get to Paris, and John Adams exposed his boy to not only a European education, but also the world of international affairs, the world of diplomacy. By the time John Quincy Adams was 16, he was speaking 6 different languages, had traveled the face of Europe, had studied at the University of Leiden, and studied history, economics, literature. He had studied classical Latin and classical Greek as well. He studied Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations, a great economic work of economics. And he was named at 16. He was named Secretary of the Embassy in Russia.
Wow.
John Adams's friend Francis Dana had been appointed American minister to the court in Russia, but didn't speak French. And French was the language of international diplomacy.
Correct.
And
yes,
Indeed of the court in Russia. The Russian nobility all spoke French. John Quincy Adams was fluent in French by then, was having discussions with Lafayette, with Jefferson, with some of the top figures in France. And Francis Dana asked to take John Quincy with him as secretary of the legation at 16 years of age. So he began his service to his country at a very young age, when we had not yet won our independence.
It seems like he grew up very quickly, is what I gather from reading your book.
He did indeed. He, by the time he was 24, he had graduated Harvard, had earned his law degree, and was writing these brilliant articles on international affairs for various newspapers, and caught the attention of President Washington, who appointed him at 24 years of age, appointed him ambassador to Holland. And from that point on, he served as American ambassador to six different European countries. By then, as I said, he spoke six languages fluently. So he was one of only four American diplomats overseas, and the only one with such broad linguistic skills that he could understand and all of the other diplomats at various gatherings of diplomats. And he served as a one-man intelligence service for the United States government as a foreign diplomat.
How old was he when he became president?
He was 42, but his presidency was actually the low point of his political career. By the time he became president, as I said, he had served as ambassador to six European countries. He was the chief peace negotiator at the conference that ended the War of 1812. He served 8 years as Secretary of State under President James Monroe, and wrote the core provisions of the Monroe Doctrine that really formed our foreign policy for the next 200 years. So he had tremendous experience in foreign affairs, and he had served as a senator. He was a courageous senator. In fact, John F. Kennedy, himself a war hero, in his book Profiles in Courage, named John Quincy Adams as the most courageous senator and congressman in American history. After his presidency, he served 16 years, eight terms in Congress, and actually died in the House of Representatives trying to make a motion to end the Mexican War. But it was during this service in the House of Representatives that he became the first man in Congress to stand up and call for emancipation before Lincoln even knew how to spell the word. He was calling for abolition of slavery, and by then as well, he was a brilliant lawyer who pleaded many precedent-setting cases before the Supreme Court, and he pleaded the case that won the freedom for the 36 captives of the slave ship Amistad. Some of your listeners may have seen the film Amistad, and the character that Anthony Hopkins played was John Quincy Adams, who scored a legal victory that was one of the most historic in the history of the United States and of the world, really, in winning the freedom for those African captives. He put his argument placed a whole new legal complexion on the slave trade. Until then, all Africans were considered slaves, period. And John Quincy Adams argued that the slaves on board that ship had been freemen in Africa and had been kidnapped by the slave traders and had simply risen up in self-defense, acted in self-defense to slay their kidnappers on board the ship, the captain and the mate of the ship, and the Supreme Court agreed. So suddenly the African slave trade between Africa and the United States became illegal. It was the first giant step towards full emancipation. It didn't make slavery illegal, but it made the slave trade illegal. It made it an act of kidnapping.
Now, before we started the interview, you were telling me Mount Adams in Cincinnati has a connection here. And what is that?
Well, one of the, as I said, John Quincy Adams' his presidency was a failed presidency. Congress blocked everything he tried to do. One of them was to set up what he called a network of lighthouses to the sky. And when he was a boy in Paris at 10 years old, Paris was the center of scientific advances in the West at that time, and he witnessed the first balloon flights, both unmanned and manned. And he dreamt of exploring the heavens the rest of his life. So when he was president, he proposed building these series a network of lighthouses to the sky. Congress refused. When he was a congressman, he sponsored this network on his own. He went out privately and eventually built a network, saw to the construction, was responsible for the construction of a dozen of these astronomical observatories, is what they were. One at the Navy Department, another at West Point Military Academy, and one was built in Cincinnati, and they renamed the mountain Mount Adams. That was the westernmost lighthouse to the sky in this network. And these lighthouses to the sky communicated with each other. They tracked the paths of the heaven of the stars and the planets, and this was really the first American space exploration program, and John Quincy Adams was the father of American space exploration.
Harlow, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
Harlow Giles Unger is the author of the book John Quincy Adams. You can find a link to more information about the book at WVXU.org. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Mark Haney.